CEO of CBRCA and the entire executive. You are the fourth, the third or the fourth for the day. We still left with one post regulator to deal with. This year we decided that there is no one who will have a laissez faire without us engaging with your APPs and the strat plans, that we just pass the budget through without engaging and interacting with you. And this year, this portfolio committee has taken a stance that if your APP doesn't have what it takes, we definitely will send you back to go and deal with the issues that would have raised, or either the entire APP to say this is how it's going to be, or we say go and correct here, add this, do that. But we expect you to do that within a very short period of time, so that by the 8th of May we are able to consolidate all the APPs. By the 18th of May, when we go for the budget debate, everything is in order. Mr. Mpanza, you don't know the team here. They don't know you, because apparently the last time we called them was 2016, before you came through. So the chairperson of the board and the CEO will introduce the entire team from CBRTA. CBRTA it's an acronym for Cross Border Road Transport Agency. They are dealing with the road transport across the borders of the Republic of South Africa. So as we will be engaging and dealing with their issues, we are looking forward that now they will tell us that they have resolved the albatross that has been around this portfolio committee's neck, which is what is happening between Free State and Lesotho and Basotho taxi industry, together with the taxi industries that comes from the Republic, yaseMzansi. Welcome once more, Chairperson. I will give it to you so that you are able to introduce your team and maybe have a short introductory remark, and then presentations are made. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good afternoon to you and to the honorable members of this committee. On my left-hand side is our CEO, Mr. Sipho Khumalo. On my left-hand side. On my right-hand side is our COO, Mr. Nchaupe Maepa. Next to her is Ms. Gugu Zwani. And next to her is Ms. Ngadimeng. Sorry, Tembi Ngadimeng. I always say we need to correct names. It can't be Tembi and Ngadimeng at the same time. Honorable Chair, we are honored today to present our annual performance plan. And I would not go into details, but we look forward to much more improvement going forward. We have been working hard trying to get to a better state. And also on the Lesotho matter, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but it's not the oncoming train. We are definitely working on solutions. Let me hand over to the CEO to give us a presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and good afternoon, members of the Portfolio Committee, honorable members. We are privileged to appear before yourself to present our annual performance plan. Just to give you a high-level insight of what we'll cover, issues pertaining to our mandate and a strategic overview. We'll then touch on the cross-border environment, the environment in which we operate. We'll reflect on the performance of the organization. We will then talk about our audit outcomes over the previous years. We'll then get into the specific issues pertaining to our strategy and key focus areas for 2018-19. And we'll show you the linkage between the mandate, the strategic objective, and the key performance areas. We'll touch on the key performance indicators and the targets for the financial year. We'll also look into the transformation initiatives being undertaken by the agency. We'll look into the medium-term expenditure framework, both from a revenue and expenditure estimate. We'll then also look at risks and mitigation, and some of the strategic risks that will be touched on indeed will also reflect on the Free State Lesotho matter. Perhaps just to start from where things started, Chairperson, the agency was established in 1998. You'd notice that in our slide there's a 20-year with a balloon on it. So this agency, on the 1st of April this year, was celebrating 20 years. We came into existence on the 1st of April 1998 and were 20 years old this year. And we established in terms of the Cross-Border Act number 4 of 1998, and we established to do the following. Firstly, to eliminate impediments in the flow of passengers and freight by road across regional borders. Secondly, we established to introduce regulated competition in cross-border passenger transport movements. Thirdly, we established to liberalize market access in the cross-border freight transport. In the fourth place, we aimed at reducing operational constraints for cross-border road transport industry. And we also established to enhance and strengthen the capacity of the public sector in dealing with the matters above. And lastly, to build industry partnership with a view to empower the cross-border road transport industry. All these strategic objectives, Chairperson, were informed by the objective material conditions that existed at the time that made government deem it necessary to establish an agency like us. This was shortly after South Africa had became a party to or contracting party to the SADC Protocol on Transport, Communication and Metrology, and to ensure that South Africa could honor its obligations in respect to this protocol, you needed to have an agency that would attend to these matters. Who are we, Chairperson? The purpose of the agency is primarily to license commercial cross-border road transport operators. So any operator, any person who is transporting either people or goods between South Africa and any part of the African continent for commercial gain needs to have a license from us. So our primary reason for existence is to provide that license, licensing regime, and it is based on certain conditions which are also different whether you are a passenger operator or a freight operator. Our vision, we see ourselves as the champion of free-flowing interstate operations. We believe that one of the key engines to the growth of the South African economy is enabling free flow of interstate cross-border operations, which will enable us to trade better and to trade more with our neighbors, which will provide us with another critical catalyst to economic growth that will enable us to realize our objectives as a country. Our mission is to spearhead the unimpeded flow of interstate operations, thereby facilitating sustainable social and economic development. Our values are integrity, transparency, reliability, efficiency, effectiveness, and indeed social responsibility. We have an acronym for our values, we call it ITREES. Just on the strategic overview, Chairperson, the goals, there's only four goals that define what we do. Firstly, it's to facilitate the unimpeded flow of cross-border transport, which is our primary reason for existence. Secondly, it's strategic positioning to promote integration of the African continent in line with the promotion of trade between South Africa and the rest of the African continent and the creation of a reliable supply chain that will enable the rest of the African continent to become a meaningful player in global trade relations. Fourthly, it is to promote safe and reliable cross-border transport. And the fourth one is to enhance organizational performance in order to improve sustainability. Now, these goals are supported by the following strategic objectives. The first one speaks to implementation of the regulated competition of cross-border movements. And maybe just to elaborate a bit on this one, Chairperson, when it comes to the passenger transport movement, the key is to ensure that there's reciprocity and equal treatment between South African operators and foreign operators. and the manner in which we regulate the cross-border movement of passenger transport movements, ensure that there's equitable balance between how many operators are coming into our country versus the number of operators leaving our country going into our neighboring states. The second one speaks to the improvement of compliance with road transport legislation, and that starts with adherence to the conditions of the permit, the cross-border permit itself, but also ensuring that vehicles that are coming from our neighboring countries coming into South Africa do adhere to the requirements from a safety point of view, like not having tires that are worn out, not having vehicles that are unsafe, and so on. Even though in terms of the bilateral agreements we have with our neighboring countries, we speak about mutual recognition of each other's systems, we still have a responsibility and a duty to ensure that in order to keep the carnage on our roads, we maintain acceptable standards in terms of the conditions of the vehicles that flow into our country. We also sustain strategic partnerships with stakeholders, which enable us to achieve our objectives. The cargo benefit owners, the CBOs, know the conditions that they experience across the border much better than we would ever know them. And therefore, for us to be effective, we need to work in a partnership and in a strong relationship with them in a coordinated and cooperative manner, so that indeed what we do is responsive to the challenges that they experience on the ground. We also proactively provide value-added advisory services to the minister, to the department, and any other stakeholder that has an interest on cross-border matters. Recently, we asked about how many trucks are being licensed, are operating between South Africa and our neighboring countries. That sort of information provides very useful information that enables the whole of government to have a very clear sense of how much trade is taking place between South Africa. And we're asked to actually further give a breakdown of this information per border to say how many trucks are flowing between South Africa and Zimbabwe, how many trucks are flowing between South Africa and Mozambique, and so on. What about probably the only organization that can provide you with such information, because indeed it is a part of our responsibility to monitor what's happening on those routes. And we use this information to inform and to advise the minister and to also suggest what changes need or improvements need to be made to try and decongest our borders, which are currently a serious bottleneck because of infrastructural shortcomings and even soft infrastructural issues that do not enable our borders to function as optimally as they should, which also retards the amount of trade that then takes place between ourselves and our neighbors. We also proactively promote transformation and development of the cross-border industry, Chair. And this we do by ensuring that as we license cross-border operators, we also are addressing the historic imbalances of the past, and we ensure that we try and proactively create opportunities for those who historically were not part and parcel of providing these services to also become participants. We also ensure financial viability and sustainability of the agency itself, and we endeavor to improve our own efficiencies in terms of how we service the industry. Chairperson, maybe just to talk briefly about the environment that provides the strategic setting of where we have a map there that shows you the different routes that lead to our respective borders. Most people in this room would know, Chairperson, that we have 52 borders as a country, and of the 52 border posts, 19 are designated as commercial border posts. And it is in those 19 commercial border posts that a lot of the trade flows take place between our country and our neighboring countries. The biggest four routes or borders in border posts in South Africa are Beit Bridge, which is arguably the busiest border post in the whole continent. I'm told that there is a border post that connects Egypt with Tunisia, which is a second, and from time to time they overtake us in terms of numbers of what flows in that. But Beit Bridge is really, if it's not the biggest, then it's the second biggest border post at any given point in time in the region. We have Lebombo that links South Africa with Mozambique. And we also have Maseru that links South Africa with Lesotho. And we have Skelspaard-Hek, which links South Africa with Botswana. And those are the four busiest border posts in the Republic. And these border posts, Chairperson, are also linked to very critical corridors. The North-South Corridor is the one that takes us all the way from Durban and goes all the way to Dar es Salaam. And it is a very critical corridor, and the corridor in which 68% of trade coming out of this country flows through that corridor. We also have the Trans-Kalahari Corridor that's linking three countries, South Africa, Namibia, and Botswana, which also is becoming very strategic. And I dare say, Chairperson, that if we are not careful as a country, Namibia will soon overtake us as their gateway to the African continent, because they're doing some incredible work in Walvis Bay, and all indications are that more and more companies are actually setting up their operations from Namibia. And this, to me, should serve as a warning to us that we need to up our socks, otherwise we will lose that status of being the gateway to the continent. And of course, we have the N4 corridor, or Maputo Development Corridor, which links us through the Lebombo border post. What are the things, Chairperson, that impact on the cost of doing business? It's delays that are experienced at our border post, Chairperson. It's inadequate infrastructure that affects the flows, but also parking in the border post. Anyone amongst us here who's ever visited the border post, you'd know how chaotic situation looks in land border posts of South Africa. And it is always important to then compare what you see in the land border post with what you see when you visit a port of entry, like a harbor, or when you go to an airport. Normally everything is organized, everything looks very professionally set up, but in our land border post the situation does not obtain. And this, Chairperson, I want to say, if we are sincere about integrating ourselves with the African continent, and if we really want to become true players in the continental free trade agreement that the President was talking about, we really need to do something about our land border post. The other one, Chairperson, is the frequent stoppages by law enforcement officers of particularly foreign vehicles in our country. And this is done not for purposes of law enforcement, but for purposes of eliciting bribes from these people, because generally they are vulnerable, they're in a foreign country, they don't know their own rights, and so on and so on. And it's one of the issues that is impacting, unfortunately, negatively in terms of the ability of us to trade better with our neighbors. Some of the other key players in the border post, Chairperson, is your Department of Home Affairs, who deal with immigration. And we also know that Home Affairs is trying to set up a border management, they now call it Border Management Authority, which is supposed to be the AXA of border posts if that agency comes to existence. And we think that that agency will then be entrusted with the responsibility for ensuring the efficiency of the flows through our border posts. We also have the South African Revenue Services that deals with customs and duties. And we also have the South African Police Services. They have a special unit called Border Police that assists us with issues of safety and security at the border posts to ensure that there is no illicit goods that flow through into our country and to intercept any illegals that are trying to cross through our borders. We also have agriculture, forestry and fisheries that ensure that we do not have alien plants that can come here and damage our ecosystem in terms of consuming more water than they should and so on. And it's really there to ensure that things that are not welcome in our country are intercepted at the border. We also have port health that mainly looks after the issues of diseases. The diseases that we want to restrict, particularly communicable diseases, so that we do not have just a free movement of people who may be bringing unwanted diseases here. And we also have state security agency who assist us by gathering intelligence and trying to know upfront who's intending to move what that may not be wanted at the border post for purposes of interception. So all these players, Chairperson, and ourselves work in a very closely coordinated manner, and we pass information to each other, and we meet on a fortnightly basis in what is called Interagency Clearing Forum, where we discuss all matters affecting our borders and ensuring that from a security point of view we are all on the same page with respect to what we need to intercept and stop from flowing through our borders. The economic environment, Chairperson, I need to say that cross-border industry is affected by what happens in the region and also globally. You will not believe that The decision by the United Kingdom to leave the European Union in terms of what has got to be known as Brexit has had a very direct impact in terms of the flows through our borders. And none of us could see that happening because geographically the UK is far up there, it's not here. But all of a sudden Commonwealth is seeing Britain is driving its interest through Commonwealth, and all of a sudden they're also trying to see us as becoming more relevant in their own interest now that they've left the European Union. The National Development Plan also articulates on the importance of promoting intra-Africa trade through cross-border transport movements. Chair, recently we've had a signing of the Continental Free Trade Agreement, which is aimed at ensuring that we eliminate barriers to trade in the whole of the continent by doing away with duties and customs duties, which will enable us to become a supply chain a key component in the global supply chain and to enable Africa to be able to engage with Africa or with the rest of the world on a more equitable basis. We also know, Chair, that we are riddled with inexplicable barriers to trade, and therefore these are a serious constraint to economic growth. Intra-SADC trade is very low compared to what happens in other regions, although this region is actually the best performing in terms of other regions in the continent as well. The National Development Plan also amplifies on the importance of global economic shifts, technology, globalization, climate change, and African growth as a notable trends that have a bearing on South Africa. And these are things we need to be aware of and things that we need to be responsive to at any given point in time. South Africa regards the SADC region as the most important priority in terms of its international relations strategy. This is articulated in our own policy. And South Africa is a signatory to the SADC Protocol on Transport, Communication and Metrology, which sets very ambitious targets about what Africa needs to do, particularly SADC, to ensure that it becomes a viable and a vibrant player as a regional bloc that links this part of the world with the rest of the continent and the rest of the world. There's a new development also, Chairperson, that involves both SADC, EAC and COMESA, where a tripartite agreement was taken to work towards elimination of bilateral cross-border road transport agreements with a view to developing viable corridors and replacing these with a single multilateral cross-border road transport agreement. And it's something we are pushing very vehemently, and recently I may inform this committee, Chairperson, that a SADC-wide regional body has been established, as we call it, the SADC-wide regulatory body or forum that links all the SADC countries under one roof, and South Africa was elected chair of that forum, which means we've been given a very prime position in terms of driving issues of driving in regional trade, but also linking SADC with EAC and COMESA through such a body. The multilateral cross-border road transport agreement will set in motion the migration from quantity regulation to quality regulation in the cross-border road transport space. And some of the existing agreements and MOUs that are currently in place are with the following countries: Malawi, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, Zambia, and last year we also signed another one with the DRC, and we have a draft one with Tanzania as well. There's an MOU on the Trans-Kalahari Corridor that links South Africa, Botswana, and Namibia. And of course, we also have the SACO MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, which also has got some very specific prescriptions and targets in respect to what we need to achieve in cross-border movement. And it involves the following countries: South Africa, Swaziland, Lesotho, Namibia, and Botswana. So these are the legal instruments that govern the environment and that inform what we may or may not do in engaging with our counterparts, and they form the basis for engaging when any of us are defaulting in terms of what we've committed ourselves to in terms of these agreements. Just looking into the performance itself, Chairperson, last year we need to give you a reflection of the unaudited performance. We're currently sitting at 92.31% is the projected performance for the financial year that has just ended. The key performance indicators that were not achieved, the developed and implemented cross-border charges as an additional revenue stream. You'd remember when we presented our plan for the previous financial year, we had articulated that we want to actually activate these cross-border charges because our counterparts, when you go to the region, charge us for using their roads, for the damage we effect on their roads, but South Africa currently doesn't charge any foreigner who brings their vehicle here, and indeed those vehicles do contribute to the damage on our roads. And this is a target we sought to achieve, but unfortunately, given the complexity of driving something like this, it's something that is a government-wide initiative, and it's an initiative that requires the actual policy entities like the department, the National Treasury, and so on, to all concur with what we're proposing here. Maybe the target, it was a bit ambitious to expect to have done it in one financial year. So it's one of those targets that has not been achieved, but it's a target that we're still committed to and we're still driving and hoping to achieve. Currently, what has happened is that there's consultation and development of a legislative proposal that will underpin the establishment or the introduction of cross-border charges, and that's the point where we're at. And the business case was developed, and we consulted with other transport entities in this regard. both the South African National Road Accident Fund and SANRAL, who are responsible for the actual infrastructure on which these vehicles traverse. We all needed to be on the same page on this, and the Department of Transport has set up a task team involving all the affected entities, and we are working tirelessly at achieving this objective. Just in terms of the audit outcomes, Chairperson, we are very proud of the record we've established in recent past. You'd remember that when CBRTA, between the time when it was established in 1998 and 2010, CBRTA had never achieved anything but qualified audits, disclaimers, and so on. For the first time in 2010-2011, we got qualified audits, and we got another one in 2011-12. And then for the first time in 2012-2013, we achieved an unqualified audit. We repeated that in 2013-14 and again in 2014-15. And for the first time in 2015-16, we got clean audit, and we repeated that in 2016-17. And we're very confident that in the financial year that has just ended again, we will repeat it again. So we're very happy that we're showing a trajectory of progressively moving towards perfecting what we've been doing and cleaning our act up, and there's evidence to that effect. Now, in terms of where we're going, Chairperson, forecast areas for 2018-19, we have a pillar, Chairperson, that speaks to the three angles of areas where we're intervening. One, we call it strategic positioning, which speaks to the role that we're positioning South Africa to play in the region in respect to driving cross-border policy. We're talking about regulatory reforms, which speak to the reforms that we're introducing in improving the quality and the level of regulation that we do. And the third angle is, of course, financial sustainability of the agents. We all know that CBRTA is a self-funding entity, and it's an entity that for many years has struggled financially to keep itself viable and afloat. So this defines the agenda of the agents in respect to this. And at the heart of this is really gathering relevant and pertinent information in terms of research and development, which ensure that our interventions in these three cardinal areas is informed, and it's data-driven, and it's not just things that we dream up, but it's things that are founded on the basis of the objective situation that the agency finds itself in. Given that, Chairperson, we're reflecting on the linkage between our mandate, strategic objectives, and the key indicators. The mandate, as I have articulated, is to improve the unimpeded flow by road of freight and passengers in the region. The strategic objectives that support that speak to proactively providing value-added advisory services to the minister and other relevant stakeholders on cross-border matters in the transport sector. Now, some of the indicators, Chairperson, that are supporting this strategic objective, which underpins this mandate objective, is the State of Cross-Border Operations Report that we produce on an annual basis, and it's submitted to the minister and other relevant stakeholders, and I remember we sent a copy to Parliament as well last year. We do country profiles where we look at the neighboring countries and we look at the level of trade that takes place between South Africa and them, and we look at what are the impediments that are affecting the ability of us to trade more with those players. And we also developed a model to calculate transit and cost of delays at commercial border posts. I think it's a very powerful tool, and it's a tool that enables us to distill what are the real issues that we need to impact on in order to bring about qualitative and meaningful change in terms of improving the level of transit and cost of delays at the border post. The second one, Chairperson, speaks to opening the market progressively in respect of border freight, cross-border freight road transport. And it speaks to us implementing regulated competition of cross-border movements. And the specific things we're doing there, Chairperson, in terms of the indicators, is we've implemented a scientific tool that's been used by the regulatory committee to manage the supply and demand of cross-border passenger transport. And secondly, we've developed a permit fee regulations. And the third one, Chairperson, speaks to introduction of regulated competition, and this affects passenger transport movement. And the idea here is to introduce and implement regulated competition of cross-border movements. I think it still speaks to the tool, but here the tool we're talking about is what we call market access regulation, which is used to manage the supply and demand of cross-border passenger transport, and we've also developed a permit fee regulation. The fourth one speaks to reducing of operational constraints for cross-border road transport industry as a whole, an area that is covered in the operational plan. And the strategic objective is to establish and sustain strategic partnership with our stakeholders to enable the agency to achieve its objectives. And here the key indicators, Chairperson, speak to the percentage of operator constraints that we address within 6 months. Every meeting we have with operators, they tell us about this or that constraint, and we make undertakings, and we have a turnaround time of addressing and sorting these within 6 months. The reason why it's 6 months, Chair, because often it involves engaging with your counterpart in the other country and obtaining agreement at that level. And it's also the percentage of resolution of passenger transport conflicts that are registered and resolved within 6 months. From time to time in the passenger transport space, taxi operators step on each other's toes and conflicts arise, especially between domestic operators and cross-border operators. And again, any matter that is brought to our attention, we measure ourselves on being able to resolve it within 6 months. The next one, Chair, speaks to the enhancing of the capacity of the public sector as a mandate issue, and the strategic objective thereof is also speaking to the strategic partnerships. And here, the indicators, the specific ones, is development, an implemented stakeholder management plan, we've developed and we're currently managing in accordance with that. We facilitated the implementation of the SADC protocol and regional agreements. We also became very active in the setting up of the SADC regulators forum that we are currently chairing, and which provides us with another opportunity of actually providing leadership over these issues at a regional level. The last one, Chair, that I have here speaks to the empowerment of cross-border road transport industry to maximize business opportunities, to regulate themselves incrementally in order to improve safety, security, reliability, quality, and efficiency of services. And here, Chairperson, the specific indicators speak to the development and implementation of industry development strategy, which we would be happy to come and share with yourself, Chairperson. We think it's a very ambitious strategy. It will only be constrained by the limits of our financial position. We've also developed and implemented the operator compliance accreditation scheme, which is a scheme that seeks to help us to migrate from this quantity regulation to quality regulation by ensuring that we have a concept that is like your authorized economic operators who will enjoy certain benefits based on their ability to adhere to the requirements and regulations of our Act and the SADC protocol. We also have one that speaks to the number of operator and corridor profiling reports which are helping us to make decisions and also informing the engagements we have with our counterparts in the region. Chairperson, all these key performance indicators are also supported by quality targets, quarterly targets that are undertaken within programs. And this, the next slide just gives you a sense of what we're trying to achieve in what, like from quarters one to quarter three, in terms of the implementation of the market access regulation, which applies that KPI. And the next few slides that show you what is happening within each of the units in the agency, and it shows you the link from the goal to the strategic objective, the key performance indicator, what is the target for the financial year, and what are we doing within each unit in terms of the targets. The second one there, Chairperson, speaks to the development of the operator compliance accreditation scheme. Again, it links with the overall goal, the strategic objective, and it gives you that the target is approved OCAS implementation manuals for this financial year, and what are we trying to achieve in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and the fourth quarter. The next one, Chairperson, speaks to the percentage of temporary permits issued within a predetermined turnaround time. And the target is 90% of compliant applications for temporary permits being processed and permits issued in the front office within 1 day. And the target is 90% of compliant applications for temporary permits being processed and permits issued in front office within 8 hours. So again, it gives you a breakdown of what we seek to achieve quarters one to quarter four. And the second component of that speaks to also 90% of applications from the remote office now, which are done within 2 days. In other words, those that are done through post, but not physically when a person comes in front of us. Chairperson, the next one speaks to the profiling services. You remember that we had a law enforcement unit at the CBRTA, which was transferred to the Road Traffic Management Corporation. but we have a profiling unit which works very closely with the law enforcement, which is now reporting to the RTMC, but it enables us to keep touch of what the law enforcement issues are in our environment and to inform the RTMC accordingly. So that what we're talking about here by the profiling services is what we do in respect to that. And we're also still responsible for Section 4, 39 reports of our Act in terms of the reports that we need to submit to the Regulatory Committee for decision making that deal with issues of law enforcement. So the profiling services is that unit now that looks after these issues and work in close liaison with all the law enforcement components in the country. And what we have here is to articulate the number of operator and corridor profiling reports for decision making and for ensuring that four Section 39 reports are submitted to the Regulatory Committee, in other words, one Section 39 report per quarter, and what the target there speaks to, what each of these Section 39 reports submitted seek to achieve and what we're wanting to achieve every quarter. On stakeholder management, Chair, it's a very important issue for us in terms of positioning of the agency and driving the agenda of integration with the African continent, but also ensuring that we do what we do in a coordinated and comprehensive manner and in partnership with those that we're trying to regulate. The idea here was to develop a stakeholder management plan, which we have done, and the target is the implementation of what is contained in that stakeholder management plan. And in every quarter, it gives you an engagement with specific stakeholders as designated in that plan, so it provides you with that detail. The next one still speaks to the stakeholder management plan, but now it speaks to the component of the stakeholder management plan as regards to SADC, and it addresses issues of workshop, SADC protocol, and regional agreements with a view to determining what are the gaps that need to be closed in order for all of us to perform in respect to what we have set to achieve in terms of monitoring the compliance of us as member states in respect to our commitments made in the protocol and the regional agreements. So again, it provides you with details of what needs to be achieved within each of the quarters. The next one speaks to research and development. And as I had said, we produce an annual State of Cross-Border Operations report, a very important report that gives you a very clear picture of what goes on in all the border posts that we respond, mainly on 19 commercial border posts. And the target here is to produce this report, which is then presented to the minister and other stakeholders. And then it gives you a detail of what must happen in quarter one, quarter two, which will culminate in the actual production of this report. The next one in research and advisory services speaks to the country profiles reports, which I also spoke about. This year the target is Swaziland and Botswana. So every year we try and do at least two country profile reports, which is detailed reports that speak to all cross-border issues as they affect us, flows between us and the affected countries. And it gives you the specific targets of what needs to be happening every quarter up to the end of the financial year. Now this thing has jammed on me. The next one there speaks to the cross-border flow calculator. I spoke about this calculator. I said the intention with it is to develop a model for calculating transit and costs and delays at commercial border posts with a view to being able to quantify and provide a very clear picture of the cost of the delays that are experienced at the border post. And again, we're providing you with a detail of what we want to achieve in each quarter from quarters one to quarter four. The next one speaks to the implementation of an industry development strategy. Again, the strategy will be implemented during the financial year and broken down into specific targets that will be achieved in quarters one to quarter four, as broken down in that slide. Just on administration, here we're talking about enhancing the organization performance in order to improve our sustainability, and the idea is to ensure the viability of the agency and financial sustainability. And the idea is to implement these cross-border charges as an additional revenue stream, and we've articulated on the consultation and development of a legislative proposal on cross-border charges that needs the buy-in of all the affected parties. And what we've done is we've developed a business case on the sale of information as a revenue stream in the interim whilst we're working on the broader objective of introducing cross-border charges, which we've come to appreciate that it requires a lot more than we had anticipated. The second one speaks to development and implementation of cross-border management system, the finalization of procurement and of enterprise architecture, partner for cross-border management system. The idea here is to migrate from the current system through this enterprise architecture and finding a partner that will work with us. And the targets speaks to the quarterly, the approval of the project plan for prioritized interventions as per the approved enterprise architecture roadmap and the implementation of prioritized interventions as per the project plan. The next one speaks to enhancing the organizational performance in order to improve sustainability. And here we're talking about published permit fee regulations. As an agency that is primarily funded through permits, this is a critical issue for us. And the amended draft permit fee regulations that were supposed to have been approved last year never got to be approved, and as a consequence, had a direct and a very dire impact on our budget and our ability to meet our financial commitments in the financial year that has just ended. And so this has also been flagged here as a key deliverable for us in the financial year that we're in. Now, some of the transformation initiatives undertaken in the 17-18 financial year was the development of the industry development strategy. We also introduced what we call the Border Town Empowerment Initiative, and it's really an initiative that says how do you ensure that those towns that are resident within the border post take advantage of their position in terms of being in transit towns, and how do we ensure that there is empowerment that takes place, particularly for youth and women who are resident in those border towns, so that they benefit directly in terms of careers in transport, in terms of understanding how to engage with cross-border business and to actually make a living out of it. And we're adopting specific towns in the border post. We've done one in Oshuk border post. We've done one in Lutuli municipality. And the idea is to roll out into all border towns so that the youth and women in those towns can become logistics players and beneficiaries of their location in strategic position of transit spaces within our country. And the last one speaks to regulatory reforms that are aimed at improving the work we do in terms of the framework with a view to enforcing transformation of cross-border subsector. We know that this sector remains to a large extent untransformed, and we think we have a duty of driving transformation in this space. Chairperson, the next slide speaks to issues of revenue and expenditure estimates, and I'm going to ask the CFO, acting CFO, Mr. Mayepa, to take us through those.
Good afternoon, honorable members. Just in terms of the MTF estimate in terms of revenue, as the CEO has indicated, our primary stream is permit revenue. We have not implemented the cross-border charges, so our only stream in the past, we used to have permit revenue and penalty. The penalty has now migrated to RTMC, so our primary stream now is permit revenue. You will see that for the year that you are currently in, we are looking at about 223 million overall in terms of the permit revenue. It's an increase from the previous year because we are implementing this year an increase in the permit. The permit tariffs were advertised now in March, and we're hoping that we'll then run the process in terms of public comments and still ensure that we promulgate them for implementation in the current year. Also, in terms of what will influence the permit tariffs, has to do with the implementation of some of the initiatives that will seek to support new entrants into the industry in terms of the work that we are doing in terms of the industry development strategy. But also, a mandatory to make sure that at the border there is a check in terms of the permit, that no one crossed the border without a permit, and all of those things will then enable us to increase our revenue base. So that is basically in terms of revenue, that's the only strip that we have. In terms of expenditure, Chair, we are again 70% in terms of expenditure is in relation to compensation of employees, which reflects an increase from the previous year, primarily for the following reasons. One is your normal annual salary inflation increase, But critical to that is the filling of the vacant position. What we have done, we are looking at enhancing the role of stakeholder management, as the CEO has indicated, in terms of the work that we are doing in that space. We are looking at enhancing capacity within research and development, the new role of profiling in terms of how it works with law enforcement and making sure that the mandate is achieved, but also issues around regulatory and IT. And that's basically what informs the increase in terms of the compensation for employees. Other than that, our goods and services remain reasonably the same as compared to the previous years, with just inflationary increases. And what influenced the depreciation is just in terms of the investments that we'll be doing in our IT environment. You'll see that in terms of our CAPEX there of 7.2 million in the current, in the financial year that has started, in the main relates to the CBRT as the payment system that the CEO has spoken about. So we are investing in the CBRTS, and that is going to have an impact on depreciation. So basically, in terms of our MTF, that's all what we wanted to just highlight to the committee. Thank you.
And that brings us to the end of our report. The only issues that are outstanding here is just to give you a sense of the risks and mitigation, and it deals mainly with the Free State issue, Chairperson. Yes. Chairperson, the Free State issue, as you said, correctly characterized this, remains an albatross around our neck. But we're very happy, Chairperson, with what we've been able to achieve. We've managed to take this issue to another level of engagement. Firstly, I think we have found ourselves with the industry bodies, representative body, SANTACO. Although now we all know now that the industry has got another body called NTA, which doesn't quite sit in with SANTACO, but SANTACO and ourselves have agreed on a particular approach to this thing, Chairperson, that we believe if we get the support of the political principals, will provide us with a solution, which is the only solution that we think will work on the ground. Unfortunately, Chairperson, it will mean departing from the legislative prescripts, because it means providing for a special dispensation for the Free State Lesotho routes. What we're seeking to do, Chairperson, is to provide cross-border hubs within Free State. And you have the actual movement of people coming from Lesotho being actually transported into those hubs. And from within those hubs within Free State, they will then be distributed to the rest of the country. We think it's the only practical solution on the ground that would work, and it's a solution that enjoys the total buy-in of the industry from the South Africa side. The only challenge is that the Lesotho counterparts are not in agreement with this solution. But at least from the South Africa side, we've all found each other on this one, and we think if we can get the support of our political principals, it will provide us with a lasting solution to that. Because Free State had already started building border posts across every border, just on the other side of the border, on the Free State side, there's now a taxi rank that has been built, and the intention was to, in fact, use those taxi ranks as hubs for distribution. But it does mean that people will no longer have one... Remember that in terms of the Act, it says point of origin will be in country A, point of destination will be in country B. In this case, it means you will have 3 points. You will have point of origin, the intermediate point within the Free State hub, and then the point of origin, final destination. So it's the model we want to sell, Chairperson, and we think it is the one that can assist us. And we've been lobbying on the ground, and we think we have the necessary support in terms of the key players that are affected by this issue, but we don't know whether the portfolio committee and our political principals would be in agreement with this. But we think it's the best solution to the problem we have. I just thought I should highlight that, Chairperson, in terms of the risks that are still facing us.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kumalo and team. Anything, Chairperson?
I'm covered.
Okay. Honourable members, Honourable Khadebe, you'll be the first one to take. Honourable Sibande, Honourable De Freitas. Let's start with you, Honourable Khadebe.
No, thanks, Chair. So let me start with the one of the youth conflict resolution. I think it will be highly appreciated that you can try and find a way of reducing the time frame. I think 6 months is going to be too much for you to resolve conflict, especially when people are being angry at each other, killing one another. For 6 months, it's going to be too much. If you can try and find a shortening time, it will be highly appreciated. But the other thing is that on your slide 22, the wording there on your KPIs and targets in terms of your APPs are not the same. If you can be able to also try and recheck, you can be able to correct it. Well, there are a lot of these things that are also happening. If you look at page 23 in your APPs, you also find the issue of the hosting of CBRTA road transport in Daba, but you don't find it here in your presentation. I wonder if you've changed your mind or what's happening in Daba. But you must be able to deal with this matter accordingly. The other issue is in relation. But I'm trying to check. Why do you need two quarters to approve the progress report on the implementation action on your page 24? I'm trying to check. Why do you need two quarters to approve this? That's page 24 in the presentation. Because I think for just approval of this thing, one quarter is enough. You don't need two quarters to approve for this. The other aspect, it's in relation. All right, as I'm saying, some of these other weddings are not the same as in the APP. In your page 20, slide 28. Where you say develop and implement the industry development strategy. On your target, you said develop industry development strategy. Trying also to check whether the board is approved in terms of it, and have it been submitted also to the minister. If you can be able to get a clarity on that. The other aspect is in relation to your page 29. You say implement the cross-border change as additional revenue stream, but in your APP you said develop and implement. So those are the contradictions that I'm talking about, that you must also double check in terms of your this thing. A lot of things that are also differing. Also, in your page 13, in your APP, it differs from you check is comparing between the two, because that's what must talk to each other, because this is one of the public document. But the other thing, in your page 31, as well, it speaks about the publish the permit, but it's in your APP it says develop and publish. So it's one of the other things that you must also take to look at. But the other thing I'm trying to understand as well, page 31, what will you be doing in terms of quarter 3 and quarter 4? Because you only said you're going to be doing approval on quarter 1, draft permit on quarter 2. And quarter 3, quarter 4, what will you be doing? If you can be able to give clarity in terms of that. In your page 32, you spoke about your initiative that are in Albert Luthuli. I'll greatly appreciate if I can be involved. That's my constituency, by the way, for your information. Oshuk, Lohile, Lukwatini, Bad Plus, Carolina, Mayflower. I think I've got about two border posts that are in my constituency. I would appreciate if I can be able to be involved, but also so that I can be able to participate but not just to participate, but also to monitor whether you are implementing what you've given us as the thing. Well, the last two questions are related to your expenditure budget report. Well, I've seen there when you spoke about the goods and services, I think it's in your slide 34, you spoke about 63.1 million. Is it million or billion?
Million.
Million, yeah, 63.1 million. But in terms of the National Treasury documents, it says 60.3. So there's a particular contradiction. Kune edenga 3 million akazo mthathapi mase simfuna yabo uzomakhawuntela njani because it's not similar as this one. And there's also a particular gap there under the capital expenditure where there's a capital additional where you're supposed to other figures that's supposed to appear there. I wonder if you've omitted them by mistake. If you can also check the treasury documents, it also appears there. But also, your total expenditure, it's different because in your national treasury it says it's 227.4 million, and yourself you said 238. I'm trying to, you know, enlighten those discrepancies of figures that you must be able to look at, but you must be able also to assist us because you might have done a mistake or what's going to happen. You must remember that your entity as well has got also a problem in terms of shortage of, you know, the reason that you've taken the other side of your duties, gave it to RTMC is because you were trying to offload some of the heavyweight. But then if you're going to add more money that you don't have, how are you going to operate? You're going to give yourself a very serious bigger problem. That's Jack. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, I'll start by commending about the report you gave us. Thank you very much, because sometimes we experience so where some of the people are failing to give us reports. But nevertheless, I'll go to questions. Chairperson, I wanted you to check in terms of the stakeholders, because you gave us the report in terms of the what is happening between the Free State and Lesotho border. Because previously, the key fundamental issue, it was about the stakeholders. For an example, you indicated directly about the issue of Santago. But the problem within Santago, there were problems about local taxi associations when they were crying that they were not taken on board. And then also we had a challenge of your systems which were not talking to each other, whereby you'll find municipality is issuing licenses, you find the province issuing licenses, you find national issuing licenses. So may you please take us on board that one. What is the relationship thus far? Because this matter, the CBRTA started in 1999, it's nearly 20 years. I mean, the problem, this thing of the issue started in 1999. The CBRT was established in 1998. That means it's nearly 20 years. Also, it's 19 years, so this problem. And then also, this matter, I know very well that it was uplifted up to SADC to intervene. And it is the SADC protocol failed to implement some of their own resolution. So if you may be a new tool, Babu Slavisa, from the department side, what are the developments thus far because the SADC also they were part of the problem, because there were a lot of agreements which were signed, but nothing was taking place on the ground. And also, if you see, you spoke about this thing of the MCBRTA about the multilateral cross-border road transport agreements, of which that we agree. But may you please take us on board as well. Are the neighboring countries ready? Because in the past, what we have experienced is that some of the neighboring countries were not ready. I'll put an example, the very simple Lesotho. When you go to Lesotho in terms of their even permits, whatever, they were not ready. And only to find that our staff is ready we are so advanced that we are prepared to stay around the areas, but they don't have even capacity to stay close to the border. So those were other contribution factors about this matter. And also, what was worrying me, the issue of Namibia. You said Namibia, in terms of Trans-Kalahari, Namibia is promising to be advanced than us. Of which I'm scared, whereby people have been deviated, while it's us who started, or who are the implementers, and also who are the thinking tankers in that regard. So what can be improved so that we can keep the status quo? Because to me, it doesn't help that you sensitize us that this is coming, but at the same time, we don't have a solution. It's better to have a solution in order to keep the status quo. And then also on your page 12, in terms of performance against APP, unaudited performance, which is your key KIPs, KIP, part of the KIPs which was not achieved. I can't get it exactly, because when you talk about audits and some of the things, there are these sectors. You're supposed to have your risk management, your internal auditing system first before you call your external audits. What happened? And then also to Chairperson. You see, Chairperson, there is a place where you spoke about the issue of the systems. I can't remember which place. In terms of some of your goals, whatever, that to improve the systems and the like. What is worrying me again? Yes, in terms of ICT, we can be advanced and etc. in terms of our own system. Yes, also our systems can be able maybe to talk to each other with other sections, which contribute or form part of the border. Like you have your securities, whatever, they can talk to each other. But may you please take us on board, what is the status quo with the other things? Because some of these things, if they are not ready, if we are advanced, they can cause a negative impact, which is going to affect our own budget. You'll find that we are the ones. I'll put an example, the issue of the Beit Bridge. The issue of the Beit Bridge, if you check between us and Zimbabwe, who popped out more money between us and them? It's us. You see, these are some of the challenges of which I thought that I must bring it to fore so that maybe you can clarify us. The last one, Chairperson, let me go to pitch. Let's see. So I spoke about the systems. Chairperson, let me leave it there. I know I've written somewhere about some of these things. Sorry, Chairperson, last one. You see, in terms of the, what is it? Yes, there is a point which I wanted to come to. The agency remained technically insolvent, which resulted from losing the constitutional matter in 2015. And then you had your own turnaround plan, which was developed, commenced in the first quarter of 2016-2017. Therefore, here is my question. Are we achieving any goal? If anything tangible which you can say, now there is a different. Because if we are talking about insolvency, that's something else. While you do have your turnaround strategy, is this turnaround strategy making a point? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable De Freitas. I hope there is no elephant.
I wouldn't say it's an elephant, but I would say it's a
horse.
Very strong horse, but a very good one this time. And I'll tell you why. I have the privilege of being in the previous parliament on this committee. And I remember when Mr. Kamala was appointed and how this entity was really, really in bad shape. And the page 13 of the presentation doesn't do justice to what really happened to this entity. It was really, really, I mean, when I say it's in bad shape, I remember before Mr. Kamala joined this organization, how the people would come to the committee and talk about how they had old computers with illegal licenses on their software and all that kind of thing. It was really a shambles. And since the CEO has taken over, this entity has really steadily and slowly improved year after year. And that's what I see, and this, I would say, Chair, would be a model of how, based from my perspective, how all our entities should be governed. How a one that was in really bad shape was able to be turned around steadily, quietly, doing their job. And I don't have any questions. I just wanted to say that from where they were, you know, it's very easy to say, you know, qualified audits and clean. It's been steadily going up, improving. And it's not just about audits, it's about turning around this organization, making sure the mandate of this organization actually happens under very tight, difficult financial and other conditions. So I want to say this is a strong running horse that is winning all the races. And congratulations to this entity. Thank you.
Is it Kenilworth or Devon?
Even international, all those. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable De Freitas. I just want to say to the CEO in the make, Honorable Humsinga, I thought you wanted to say something. Ah, okay. Lisile Lulu. I wanted to say to the CEO that we always engage on issues or cross-border, particularly in the SADC region, and I've seen that from the presentation here, it looks like it's upward mobility in terms of how we deal with issues in SADC region, and we hope that you will be the leader in terms of making sure that passengers, whether it's freight, South Africans are able to get joy when they go across the border. Like you have indicated in one of your submissions that, you know, the law enforcement agencies, whether it's in the Republic of South Africa or in any other of the SADC regions, this is one of the things that I urge you that when you are in your meetings, really talk to these issues, because the President of the Republic can talk to inter-regional trade, and we get paralyzed by the small things which we believe do not matter. They really matter, because they do a disservice to the business entities all over. I am not sure as to whether because the Department of Home Affairs has got a cross-border, is it an authority or an agency? I don't know. Are you part of the, are you participating in that? Which actually brings me to the other area where we're saying you need to working with them so that as you deal with matters of tariffs and deal with all these unwanted things, they are able to understand what exactly it means to you as a cross-border agency in charge of passenger and freight coming into the Republic or leaving the Republic. And I would urge you to say part of the things that we really need to do is to improve the efficiency in particular from Durban as you go towards Bay Bridge, so that we don't get overtaken by what is happening in Walvis Bay. Indeed, that to me is one of the strategic issues that we need to look into. And it has it started some few years ago now. It definitely will gain momentum. We will not see things that will be coming from Botswana or DRC or probably even Zimbabwe. They will go to the Walvis Bay instead of going to Durban. So let's develop key strategic issues which will be able to assist us to really become competitors in as we look into Africa as such. Like the horse trainer has indicated that it's not Kenilworth, it's international horse that is doing very well. I also would want to say you're doing very well. Once you have been able to deal with the issue of Free State and Lesotho, it definitely is an indication, and I hope you'll also apply the same principle within what is happening in KZN and Lesotho. The approach that you are having is an approach which actually you can be able to use throughout the country, and let's see if it's not possible that we can be able to develop policy which actually can become something that is utilized throughout the country. I don't know whether it will need the revamp of the legislation, but probably look into it together with the department. Clarissa, I did not want to, I thought I will talk at the end to the regulatory bodies that the department should take cognizance of the fact that despite the fact that you would want them to generate a revenue that will sustain them, it becomes very important that the department also say what are the things that they can be able to put financially into these regulatory bodies, because, you know, it was heartbreaking when you're listening to RTA, obviously even Ports Authority regulator when it comes. It will be the same thing that RTA is experiencing. And I know that for sure. Not so long ago, the cases that were there was taking a lot of a chunk of money from them, but the department should be able to say, these are the regulatory institutions, and therefore they should not rely on the business that they are looking after, but they must rely on the monies that comes from the department, because at some stages they will start to do wrong things with the intention of getting more money into their coffers so that they can sustain themselves. And I am saying this is one of the things that the department should be able to take up, so that these organizations, these entities does not really struggle to can be able to sustain themselves. Let it start being a sustenance from the department. Obviously, if they have been able to generate revenue it will be revenue that will go to the coffers of government, and they will continue doing, unlike a situation where they have to fend for themselves. Dade Ramathe and the team, I would put it back to you for the responses. I'm going to give you something like 30 minutes, if it's doable, for you to respond to what the members have asked you as in clarity seeking. But we are quite elated that you are here where you are today, and I think we can be able to do more. More research, more development of what you're doing is what we anticipate from you. Thank you. Mr. Ramat.
Thank you very much. I'll give Mr. Khumalo to respond to most of the questions. I think the only thing that I wanted to add is that when we look at the Lesotho Free State issue, we should understand that it has been often driven by misinformation. Because even now, people who claim to be doing cross-border transport into Lesotho do not do cross-border. They get to the border, they drop the people there. And people walk on foot, they get into the Lesotho taxis and operate from there. So when they are complaining about the Tipa Tipa hub situation that we are proposing, they are not even complying with our legislation. We give them a permit to take people from this point, from point A to point B, but they are not doing it. And obviously the South African, say the Free State taxis, do not go into Lesotho because of insurance and those issues, security and insurance and those kind of issues. So when we look into this matter, you should always bear that in mind, that a lot of times we get fed misinformation by individuals who are trying to, because the taxi industry is highly overtraded, they try to, you know, leverage any advantage that they can get. And the cross-border legislation actually provided an advantage to go over what used to be the interprovincial type of business. And I can say that as far as that situation is concerned, we have people on the ground working virtually every day on those issues and making sure that we take decisions based on factual data on the ground. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Kumar.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, some of the questions, particularly as they pertain to what is articulated in the presentation on performance targets and what we do in Gotawad, and what I'm going to ask Mr. Mahepa to assist me. But I want to pick on a few key issues, Chairperson, if I may. One, just on the wording on the slides as raised by Honorable Khadebe. Indeed, the wording on the slides and the wording in the actual document is not always the same, because we try and use less space on the slide. So it's not because of inconsistency. Where you'll have a word like develop and implement, maybe in the actual APP, in the presentation we'll say implement. We understand that developing is something you do before you implement. So it's not an inconsistency that is trying to mislead, but it's just trying to utilize less space and using as few words as possible in a presentation as opposed to a document. And the issue of the Indaba. Indaba actually took place last year in October. It was officially opened by the minister at the time, and so it's reflecting that part of that document he was reading that speaks to Indaba, speaks to what we achieved in the previous financial year, not what we're intending to do in the APP. So part of what we sought to do in this was to give you a high-level highlight of what we achieved in the previous financial year, what we achieved, what we didn't achieve, but then looking into the future. So Indaba that you picked up, for instance, speaks to something that happened in October. It was, in fact, on the 10th of October, 10th to 13th October last year, and even the DDG Slabisa was part of that Indaba. And it was a very successful Indaba because all countries in the continent except Botswana were there. So it was very well represented at a very high level, and we even adopted the Linking Africa Plan, which we are now driving through the SADC Cross-Border Operators Forum, Regulators Forum. So it was a very successful event, and we hosted it with pride, and I think we did very well there. The other issue is the issue of saying, in respect to permit fee regulations, for instance, if we do everything in quarters 1 and quarter 2, what do we then do in quarters 3 and 4? Of course, once you have permit fee regulations, promulgated and you increase your permits accordingly, then you start preparing for the following financial year. But again, it would be unjust for us in the APP to then say, and quotas 4 and 5 will be, because you only do permit fee regulation once, and the intention is to do it by mid-year, so that from a budget point of view, it can still assist us with the revised tariffs and help us to be able to cover our expenses. We've also noted the issue with respect to Chief Albert Luthuli, and we are very happy that you are availing yourself, and would be happy ourselves that when we go down and work with those communities, we are also seen to be bringing a person like yourself. We think it will also help our efforts, and it will also buttress what we're trying to achieve there, and it will give us political relevance, if you know what I mean. So we'll be happy to work with you in that regard, and you'll then be able to keep an eye on what we're doing there on the ground. The issue of, I think it was Honorable Sbande who raised the issue of stakeholders. Like Mr. Ramate, it's a pity that when Mr. Ramate started to answer this, Mr. Sbande was not in the room. Honorable Sbande, the issue of stakeholders is an issue that we're taking very, very seriously. And as the chairperson indicated, we actually have people who work on the ground full-time on just managing our relationships with the industry. And we believe that what we've been able to achieve on the ground in respect to our partnership and our collaboration with the other operators, the actual taxi operators, is better than what we've ever been able to achieve in terms of getting on the same page and finding a solution. That because what we did is we stopped saying, what does the Act say? We started saying, what will work on the ground? So we approached this thing with a completely different lens, and it has allowed for us to look at it in a very different way from the way we've looked at it historically, where we'd confine ourselves to say, we're a regulator and our job is just to implement the Act. We said, it doesn't work, it's not working for 19 years, we haven't been able to resolve this thing. Approaching it this way, can we approach it differently? So it was a question of saying, let's think out of the box and find a solution that would enjoy the support of the affected people, and I think we've achieved better than we've ever been able to achieve in that regard. The other issue that you raised is the issue of what are the development on issues taken at SADC. Indeed, the issue of the multilateral cross-border road transport agreement. Yes, not all countries are on equal footing in SADC. But like the stance that South Africa has taken is to say, we will not work on the basis of the lowest common denominator, but we will actually work on aspirational basis of saying, those who are able to move, let them move. Then they serve as an example to those who are lagging behind. Like in all other areas of our harmonization, you always find that certain countries lag behind because of either financial constraints or actually just poor economic situations. For instance, currently, when we have meetings, Swaziland hardly participates in meetings, or officials from Swaziland sometimes have to finance themselves to come to our meetings. But that will not then stop those who are able to move ahead from moving ahead. It's a question of saying, let those who are able to set the standard that is required strive for maintaining that standard and assist everybody else to be able to then catch up over time. So multilateral cross-border road transport agreement may not apply equally at the same time in every country. But if you can get the critical number of countries that then serve, and you also have trendsetters within SADC, there's countries that other countries look up to, particularly landlocked countries look up to countries that have ports generally. So if you can get the countries that have ports moving ahead, generally your landlocked countries tend to follow. And it's trends we've been observing over the last 20 years, so it's a model that we've seen it works. Eventually everybody becomes better when you set a high standard. But if you aim to set a low standard, then everybody deteriorates instead of taking things forward. So that's the stance we're taking in that regard. On the issue of Walvis Bay, unfortunately, the issue of Walvis Bay cannot be solved just by one department or from a one point of view. I think the chairperson is correct in saying, let's get all other stakeholders who have a role to play in this space. And I'm talking about here your trade and industry. I'm talking here about your international relations and DERCO. I'm talking about transport and all of us needing to have a concerted effort of saying, how do we view logistics as an economic driver and as an engine for economic growth for South Africa? Only when we approach things that way will we then be able to come with a comprehensive solution that attends to all elements that may, some of which may fall outside of the scope of transport, but will enable all of us to then say what is in the best interest of South Africa. That's exactly what Namibia did with the Walvis Bay. Walvis Bay is not just a transport initiative. Walvis Bay is a government-wide comprehensive initiative where all government departments have been said, set Walvis Bay as the logistics hub for the South, for ZADEC, and let's, with similar intention of saying they want to overtake Durban in terms of the number, the metric tons that are actually exported through Walvis Bay. So it's a conscious decision that was taken by Namibian government. They're throwing resources at it, they're throwing intellectual power into it, and so on. So for us to respond properly to this, we will need to actually come with a counter-strategy that seeks to achieve exactly the same. And that it is something that a CBRTA would be punting and would really appreciate the support of the of this committee in driving that issue, because it's an issue that goes beyond us. We can't go and address Portfolio Committee on Trade. We can't go and address Portfolio Committee on International Relations as cross-border. But as the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, she can certainly set up a discussion with the chairperson of another committee and so on, and through that would be able to then get this agenda going. And it's about time that we started not doing these things just for purposes of ticking a box, but with a view to leaving a legacy that will be a telling legacy on what we've achieved during our time in these spaces. So my view is it's an issue that we need to drive as a collective, and it's an issue that we need to treat very seriously, and it speaks to what we seek to achieve as a country, to get our sluggish economy growing at a formidable rate, and I think we have what it takes to turn South Africa around. It's just a question of us having the necessary commitment and actually being prepared to put our shoulder on the wheel to make it happen. I don't think it's an impossible task, and I do think that South Africa has got so much going for it that if we're serious and concerted in this regard, and Namibia will have no chance of competing with us. It's just that we tend to be very disorganized and not coordinated in our efforts, which is why some of these countries are able to make inroads to the extent that they are able to make. On the issue of the unaudited performance, the reason why we're saying unaudited performance, you remember that as an agency in terms of the Act, were audited by the Auditor General of South Africa, and the audit outcomes will only come at the end of May. But of course we know how we've performed. So it's a question of saying, whilst we're waiting for the audited outcomes, which will be the only authorized entity that can give you those outcomes, is the Auditor General of South Africa. In the meantime, we know how we've performed, and we're calling it correctly unaudited because it hasn't been audited yet. Auditor General might come and look at one or two things and say, no, we think you've miscalculated here and so on. So instead of that 92% you're claiming, we think you're 89% or something like that. So that's why it's important for us to disclose, so that tomorrow you don't say we came and lied to Parliament. We wouldn't want to find ourselves in such a situation, which is why we're disclosing upfront that it's unaudited state. And on the issue of the agency's technical insolvency, how are we achieving? We've actually turned our situation to a large extent around. We've paid more than half of those operators that we're owing in terms of that court case that we lost. We've been able to stabilize our own financial situation and live within our means. Yes, it has meant that we don't do certain things we would have wanted to do, because we must always have enough in our reserves to be able to service the debt. We've been servicing the debt very well, and we're very confident that we're no longer in danger of being shut down because or being in a position where we can't pay salaries. It does mean we continue to be modest in how we do things, and we don't do all the things we would ideally want to do, and we don't own buses, we don't buy fancy things, we keep ourselves at a very modest level, and we just try and do what needs to be done with the minimum resources that we have. So that's how we've kept the ship afloat. So it's like a home that is living on eating meat once a week, but you eat the veggies and you keep your children healthy for the rest of the other days in the week. So it's something like that, if I might use something that some of us may relate to. We appreciate the compliments from... We truly appreciate the compliments, Chairperson, from yourself in terms of what we've been able to achieve in dealing with the issues, and also this drive for SADC. Chairperson, I do think that all of us need to really, really realize that SADC is the future. We cannot be able to achieve what we need to achieve as a country unless we take the whole continent with us. And the continent is willing, and we really just need to, again, not just be waves. It's really putting the shoulder on the wheel and showing the necessary commitment, providing the necessary leadership. We're working very closely with all our counterparts in the region, and we're getting increasingly a sense that
we are being appreciated for the role we are providing in providing that leadership. We think, again, with your backing, we'll be able to achieve more, because we can only talk to technocrats. We can't go and talk to politicians in the region. So for that, we would need your backing and your support to work with yourselves in achieving that to achieve. But trade requires everybody to play their rightful part, as you correctly say, Chairperson. The issue of DMA is again one of those entities that if it ever sees the light of day, it will help us a lot, because all of a sudden you'll have one entity that you can hold accountable for the performance of a border post. Currently, everybody blames everybody else and no one accepts responsibility for the sluggish way in which our border posts are being managed. So we do believe in the DMA for the sole reason that it will give us one go-to point for ensuring that border posts perform at a level that is acceptable. Like you say, when you look at the airports, airports are fine. When you look at your harbors are fine. Why is it that when you go to a land border post, it's so in shambles and everything is mixed up? It's because there's no single authority that assumes ultimate responsibility over the functioning of the port. So we think that is an important intervention. And it does require cooperative work across all of us. And it will assist us a lot to improving South Africa's competitiveness. Very few people know this, but 80% of the traded goods between our country and our neighbors is transported by road. So we are undermining 80% of the value of what we produce by not having those borders operating as efficiently and as effectively as they should. And the cost of those goods are undermined seriously, and the cost of doing business are higher, much higher, because of the logistics costs, which are a huge factor in the competitiveness of our goods, which keeps our economy at a level where we can't reduce unemployment, we can't reduce inequality, we can't eliminate poverty. So these interventions will have a direct bearing on the things we want to achieve, which will help us to be able to solve other issues like your health, the state of health in the country, and so on and so on and so on. So this is an economic issue, and transport is not just a social sector. It's not just about road safety. Transport is a critical element to the functioning of any normal economy, which is why when countries declare war, the first thing they attack is your bridges and your transport corridors. That speaks to crippling you economically, because transport is a critical economic sector, not social as we tend to look at it in South Africa. I thank you, Chairperson.
Mr. Maipa.
I think it's just a few issues that I will deal with. I think the issue of the conflict resolution 6 months will take note of that, but let me just indicate that, you see, we set this target because of our understanding of the complexity and the fact that sometimes it's multiple stakeholders, sometimes SADC member states, border associations from SADC member states. However, where we are able to resolve the issues within a reasonable time, we still do that. We're just trying to set a target that will enable us to take care of other outliners that are affected by other processes. In terms of the progress and the project plan, we are not dealing with the Indaba this year. We had a workshop last year. We said we are going to have implementation of the action plans. Now, what we are dealing with in the first quarter, we are dealing with the project plan. However, in the following two quarters, we are now tracking progress against the project plan. So now, the project plan will have a number of interventions. Now, what we are dealing with, because in our APP, we need to be outcome-based as well, but at the same time, be smart in terms of how we set the target. We are then dealing with the progress report in terms of how far we have gone with the implementation of the commitments that we have made at the workshop. So that is just one thing. And I think the last quarter, we are now looking at the impact. We are looking at the outcome and the impact and to what extent we have been moved from where we were to where we'll be at the time. I think the CEO dealt with the issue of the permits, but I must also indicate that in terms of our plans on the permits in particular, we are drafting, but also we have got the department that has got to play a role. Now, to the extent that we have submitted the regulations to the department, is a process that is now out of our control. But we continue to engage with the department in making sure that we are able to publish. So when you see us putting one in the second quarter, in the third quarter we are still engaging with the department to the extent that we have publicized, we have received public comments and all of that. So that is one of the things that we are dealing with.
Mr. Clarice, how long does it take to make these public engagements? Does it really have to take 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
Chairperson, it depends on the magnitude of the engagement and the sensitivity of the issue that is being discussed to convince everyone else will be the end user at the end of the day. So I think give and take, let's listen to that one. Yes.
No. We are going to funa kujimange kanda la muena. It's not workable. I think you are not listening to a very important aspect of you take two quarters to can be able to finalize. Here we are talking about the levies, the permits, and which actually are the tenants of what should happen. And they say, we have finalized everything. It will depend on the department to can be able to do work. And the question I'm asking is, how long does it take the department to can be able to really do that? Because you are paralyzing them, they become paraplegic, and they are unable to do their job.
Chairperson, I was saying, what I'm saying, it depends on their consultation process. Once they finish that, they submit this proposal to us, the whole. It doesn't take that much to us to fast track the things so that it gets approved. For us, we need to engage with them, with our entity, because we are together with them. We are here to support them. It's a matter of finalizing that report and submit it to us. Then we'll push. 6 months for us is too long. It can't take 2 months to this thing. I was just listening to the comments about 6 months from Honorable Hadebe, and I was saying let's review the 6 months period so that this issue that they are talking about, because it's a very important issue, the period can be shortened to much shorter than the 6 months that Honorable Hadebe was talking about. That is what I can say here, Honorable Chairperson.
Shabisa, they say the whole process is not in our hands, it's in your hands, and therefore that is why they're giving it 6 months. And I'm asking, does it really need to take 6 months in this whole situation? We're going to reduce. We will reduce. We know consultation in terms of stakeholders, when you have put out the regulations, normally in Parliament, how many do we give? How many weeks do we give? You can be able to give it 10 working days, or 21 days for strategic issues, and then you are able to move on, collate the information that you received, and then you are able to move on to the next steps. It can't be 6 months, our warm rain.
Can I just also just come in? We are not necessarily in our plan saying it's taking 6 months. All we are saying is that our responsibility in terms of the draft submitted, therefore the process of the Department of going to the Government Gazette, inviting public comments, starts. It can be quite earlier, but remember, in terms of our plan, the next step after this process is the actual implementation. And the implementation of the tariffs, our preference is that they should then be implemented on the 1st of April. It can be finished early, but tariffs for us in terms of the financial year will then start 1st of April. That's why for us we see that gap as well between the submission and the actual implementation. So we are not necessarily saying the process itself will take 6 months. We are saying that once we have done this process, whatever will be engaged with the department will actually enable us to implement by the 1st of April each year. That's what we are trying to. Yeah, but no, I'm just saying.
You hear what honorable members are saying?
Yeah, I'm trying to explain.
And when they say you're speaking English, it doesn't make sense to them. And we really do not want something that is too English for us to understand.
Okay.
Mr. Chavis, you will proceed. This is a very important aspect.
I think, Chairperson, I think we are working together. we are working together with the NDT on these matters. These are crucial matters which we need to get them through. What I'm saying is, when they've done all the consultation, to us, when the document is in front of us, it doesn't take that long for gazetting. That's all I'm saying. So let's work with them, Chairperson. We can't say here, 6 months is too long. I'm agreeing with you, Chairperson. Like I was saying, the intricacies in terms of the process, who needs to be consulted, which platforms have to be consulted even further. But if that has been happened, that has happened already by the CBRTA, I don't have a problem. We won't have a problem to come and support them for this to be gazetted so that it can be implemented. We don't have a problem. We know that they don't have money, they don't have this. This one is going to be part of them to generate their revenue. So for us, we 100% be supporting them. There's no argument on that one. Thank you very much, Jefferson.
I hope you sort English-sized, honorable members. Continue, Mr. Maepa.
So in our APP, then is the approval of the tariffs, then the draft permit tariff submitted. So the other issue that was raised, I think the issue around the finances, I just have to go back and look at those figures and reconcile them. In there, particularly the issues that you are raising are in the outer year. I have not seen the treasury documents, so I'll just go and see what are the differences and what are the causes of that. So allow me time just to go and look at that. Just to confirm in terms of the performance, just to confirm and just give assurance. Yes, we are saying the performance is unaudited at year end, but internally we have got a process. On a quarterly basis, we have the risk management office. We have got the internal audit that looks at the performance and give the report to audit and risk committee every quarter. So when we say 92%, the 92% is internally audited. But remember, the ultimate is going to be the external audit. So that's the issue. I think that concludes the issues that I wanted to respond to.
Mr. Clavisa.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just wanted to make a few comments on the observations. It's just been a good presentation from our NDT. I just wanted to do one more thing here. The issues of trade between the member states and the countries, I think that one needs to be crafted in such a manner that it sees the light between the three departments, the Minister of Transport, the Minister of Trade and Industry, and National Treasury, so that there's a smooth transition in engagement with the other platforms at the static level. I heard what the entity is saying about the support. We need that support, but I think we need to channel the problem so that it doesn't come back and backlash to the entity here, because they are accountable to the Minister of Transport, and they are the entity of transport. So I would like us to guide on that, just to give a little bit of direction on that one, so that we are not found wanting. DTI, National Treasury, and the Minister of Transport are working, of course, with the entity here. The other one, Chairperson, you raise a very important point on the why are these other entities not getting some allocations from the department or from government. I think that's a valid point, Honorable Chairperson and other members. We are reviewing all the founding legislation of the entities. We started with our own entity that fall under the Rose Branch. We have done that. We are working on that with them insofar as reviewing their founding mandates and so forth. Of course, 1998 and 2018 is quite a period of time, so we need to review so that they are in line with the mandates at hand. So we are working very closely on that. Once we've got somebody who's a very independent somebody who will not be biased in terms of taking decisions, we will come to this kind of conclusions. But we are working very closely with the CEOs and the legal sections from their sections as well, so that we look into all these issues that have been raised in terms of their performance, in terms of widening the mandates and so forth, and the mandates have changed. So we are looking into all that so that we look at a bigger picture of things. So this is a process that we call streamlining and aligning their mandates so that there's no duplication. You can see here, you saw when RTA was here, RTMC was here, now CBRTA is here, you find this one is doing this. There's a serious overlap on the duplication on mandates. We are dealing with that. We have started with the roads branch in the Department of Transport, and we are going to make sure that these five entities, let's see how we realign and streamline their mandates so that they will talk to the sense. And also reduce the overhead, the cost and everything, so that we got extra money to develop what Sipho Khumalo has been talking about and all that. That is what the program we are having within the Department of Transport. Thank you very much, Jefferson. I just wanted to say say that one. And also on the issue of cross, on that one, Lesotho and Free State, Chairperson, you raise a very important point. We need to give you a full report, an updated report, what has happened until now since we were in the, at the SADC Secretariat offices to deal with the issues and what has happened with Lesotho and the changes that has happened in Lesotho government, where they could not come to a party to be with us with that process that you know, Chairperson. So we'll update you on that, the Matatiele resolutions and the tasks that were assigned until the secretariat level, where we went and met, and with Minister Mokeretla from Lesotho. We will update you with all that so that you can see where this thing is going, and also the impasse that is still within Free State and Lesotho. That thing has not gone away. So I think we need to give you what is happening and the involvement that we had right now with Santaco. But NTA also is coming to a party. So we need to also not to ignore NTA because they are also a major player. So that is what we are going now. But I will ask that because the secretariat is still there, we need to make sure that through myself and Sipho Khumalo will provide a report. It's just an updated report. In 2 weeks' time, I think we should be able to finish the report to the secretariat so that you can have a look at it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hlabisa. I will give Ntate Mokoena your phone numbers. Yeah, so that you are able to explain properly what the issues are. So I must say, Mr. Chairperson and CEO, it gives us peace of mind to really see that there is state-owned entities which actually are living up to the ideals of the President of the Republic of South Africa. And we really appreciate that because once the President has indicated that this is the route to go, therefore you expect everybody to rally around what the President has said. And we're looking forward to see intertrade, which actually will be regulated at the borders of the Republic of South Africa, and we would really appreciate that. And we thank you once more for having been with us here. Our journey for today is still continuing, and have a lovely evening. We are released.